Turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. Miss Olsons, I know it must be very difficult, but we need your testimony about what happened at the compound, said the detective to the near catatonic woman in front of him. There was a long pause, and just as he's about to give up, she spoke. I hid in the basement. Everyone had been herded upstairs, and that's when I heard the screaming and the blood. There was so much blood, it dripped through the ceiling like rain. I search for things people are too scared to believe in. Part 3, 2 of 2. By Cole Blaze K. Just to give you guys a heads up, you don't need to listen to all the others to get this one. It's little mini stories within this one, so it's easy to follow. But if you want, there will be a playlist called Cole Blaze K for you guys, and it'll be in the description box. Now, on with the story. The next case is a weird one. Still gives me chills thinking about it from time to time. This case follows some irregular sightings that happened. This maybe could have been how this whole weird phenomenon started. The Clown. Case Log 05. Location, Minnesota. This is an unusual one. Today, while scrolling online through certain back channels, I saw a bunch of people talking on forums about seeing a clown. My first thought was a Gacy wannabe, then next was some people trying to get some scares out of people. Halloween's passed and it's the middle of winter. This person, or people, have to be delusional. It's probably nothing but a prank. It's now been a few days, and I decided to check the forums again before I decided to leave. Still just a few sightings here and there. Nothing really caught my eye, until I saw a link to an article. Guess this clown or clown stepped up their game because two people were stabbed and one was killed all in a night. The curious thing about this, though, is that these all happened within a couple of hours. Looking up the location of each, it would have taken a couple of hours to go back and forth from the towns. I still don't know if this is something that is up my alley, but the town is only an hour away. It doesn't hurt to take a look. Today I snuck into the hospital and was able to interview one of the stab victims. Then I made my way to the next town where the victim died and spoke to the coroner. To start off, the interview with the stab victim, getting into his room, was pretty difficult. Turns out he has a watch on him, but everyone has to go to the bathroom or eat at some point. It took 2 hours of sitting there and reading until the guard finally got up and went somewhere. I knocked on the door and let myself in. The man stared at me curiously until I told him what I did and asked for an interview. He agreed. Audio transcript case, log 05, location, Aragon, Minnesota.
Thank you for your time, Mr. You. Can you just call me Jacob? Or Jake? Whatever works. Okay, Jake. Thanks for giving me the time of day. Not many people would. To start off, can you tell me the events of what happened?
I just finished up my shift, and was heading out to my car, when I noticed something in the tree line by the parking lot. It was a little windy out, and snow was blowing, so I really didn't know what I was seeing. That is, until I got a closer look.
What did you see?
It was someone dressed as a clown. Not just a mask, but the whole fucking getup. Red nose. Big shoes, and all the makeup. It was like I was at the circus. It was just standing there, watching me. I got creeped the fuck out, of course, I mean, it's a damn clown in the trees. So I started to jog towards my car. As I was moving across the parking lot, the clown was following me, but still in the trees. I just don't get it. One minute, I was in the front of the parking lot, and he was like 30 feet away, in the trees. Then as soon as I turned to unlock my car, he was right behind me. No noise, no sound, just there. Then a sharp feeling on my side, and I wake up here.
That sounds utterly terrifying. I am honestly just as confused as you are. You only saw one person. There weren't two there.
Yeah. It was not a fun time. I'm sure it was just one person. The clown was dressed the same and looked the same. Also, the police said there were only three sets of tracks. Mine, one heading to where I was found, and the next was heading back into the forest. Same shoe size, shape, and imprint. I was told that the shoe prints looked oversized and misshapen. They said they followed it as far as they could into the forest, but they just disappeared. One second they were there, the next they weren't.
Interesting. That's very surprising considering the amount of snow on the ground. There should have been at least something. But for it to just be gone, huh? I'm sure you've heard that there were two other victims. Did you by any chance know them?
No. No idea who they are. It's sad to think about it, though. I mean, two of us survived, and one didn't. The thought of that bothers me. I could have been him. I could have died. I just feel bad for his family.
Is there anything else you can recall? Anything that might help me find this clown or clowns?
I'm telling you, man. There was only one clown and nothing more that I could think of. Sorry. Sorry I couldn't be of more help, officer.
Never mind. Thank you for your time again, and I hope you get better. Have a good day.
Audio transcript case log 09 end. After I finished transcribing this interview, I packed up my stuff and decided to head to the next town over. It was about an hour drive, long enough to make me reflect on the interview. Something he said just didn't sit right with me. Only three sets of footprints. That would make it almost impossible for it to be more than one. So that begs the question itching in the back of my head. Is this all some sort of elaborate prank gone too far? Or is it actually some sort of supernatural being? As I entered the coroner's office, the temperature inside was about the same as the outside. The smell of death and decay came over me, sending shivers down my spine. There was no one at the desk, and flickering lights were sending my senses into overdrive. Felt like someone was watching me. I could have sworn I even saw someone in the corner of my eye. It was one of those weird moments where you think you're seeing someone, but actually don't. I know there is a saying for it, but I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. Staring into the darkened corner of the room as a light flickered put me in some sort of trance. Felt as though all my senses were focused on where I thought I had seen someone. Finally, my concentration had been broken by the coroner touching my shoulder. He asked if I was all right, and after I replied with I was fine, he brought me into his office. Audio transcript case log 09, location coroner's office.
So, what can I do for you, Mr.?
I was hoping we could talk about the man that had been stabbed the other day. On the phone, you said there were some irregularities?
Straight to business kind of man. I understand. There's just a small means of compensation that we discussed. That nice watch on your wrist would do mighty fine.
500 should be enough. Yeah.
Damn, that watch ain't worth this much, but business is business. Okay, let us get started. This man had been stabbed only once, right under the sternum. He then dropped to the ground and bled to death. My best guess was that he passed out from the shock, and by the time he came to, he had lost too much blood. Little strength left in the freezing temperatures didn't fare for him.
Who found him? And what was the irregularity you told me about on the phone?
See, here is the kicker. The only witness was a teenage boy on his way home from work. The kid said he saw someone dressed as a clown attack a man and then stared at him smiling. And so, of course, the kid shit himself and ran off, only to bring help a bit later. He just didn't get to help in time. The other interesting thing that I found was another person's DNA on the body. It was on the outside of his jacket, and also around the wound.
So, whose DNA was it? Were you able to trace it back to someone?
Oh, I was able to trace it all right. But get this. The DNA found on him was one of the other stab victims a town over. Somehow his blood ended up on this scene.
That's impossible. The attacks occurred all within about 20 minutes of each other. How would his blood get on this guy?
I have no idea. It's spooky as shit. All I know is that I'll be sleeping with my gun and shooting anything that resembles a clown. So a little tip of advice for you. Leave town. Hell, leave the state, and don't look back. Let the local authorities deal with this lunatic.
Thank you for the advice and your time. I might just take you up on that.
Well, have a good night now. Be safe, and thank you for doing business.
Audio transcript case log 09 end. As I exited the morgue's faded metal doors, I noticed snow falling outside the lobby window. The main lobby was somehow even more dark than when I had first entered. It was as though half of the faded lights finally burst. Trying to comprehend what I had just been told, I began to make my way to the front door. A few feet away from the door, I dropped my tape recorder on the old, wet, yellow tile and it began to play. The only noise that could be heard coming from it was the static of empty tape began playing. Bending down to pick up words from it echoed onto the cold, dark room.
It was someone dressed as a clown. Not just a mask, but the whole fucking...
It stopped as I hit the pause button, standing back up. I slid the recorder back in my pocket, and as I looked up, I saw a person standing outside the main entrance. Not just an ordinary passerby, but someone who was dressed up like a clown. It was only half of their body. The other half was obstructed by the building. It looked as though the clown was just barely peering into the office. A huge frown came across his faded, white face, then it slowly began turning upwards into one of the most terrifying smiles I have ever seen. The corners of its mouth looked as though it was about to reach its eye. Then, to make matters worse, he opened his mouth, showing long, brown, decaying teeth. Drool began to drip out of the bottom of his mouth as we stood locked in a staring contest. Too afraid to lose, I studied everything I could see. His teeth were sharpened, and his tongue was all black. The uniform he was wearing was covered in what looked like a mixture of blood, mud, and snow. Getting a quick glimpse down, I noticed his shoes were almost pristine. It was as though he had shined them. Looking back up, every other dirty or bloody part on him was clean. His shirt was no longer covered in blood or mud, and the only sign of snow on him was a small pile growing on the shoulder I could see. My eyes met his face again, and there appeared to be nothing wrong with it anymore. It just looked like a normal, old-style movie clown with makeup. Next thing I know, he blew his hot breath on the cold door, making it fog up. I wasn't able to see his face anymore because of it. And then he slowly pulled up his finger and drew a smiley face before walking off. Pulling together all the courage I could muster, I ran outside and looked in the direction he had walked towards. Nothing was there but an empty sidewalk illuminated by the yellow incandescent glow of the street lights and the snowflakes. It was a couple of days since the last clown sighting. After I saw him, a person was stabbed in a town a half an hour away. I went looking around that night for the clown, following the oversized shoe prints in the alley before they just disappeared. If I hadn't frozen in place, maybe the other person would still be alive. Sadly, I can't spend too much time dwelling on it. I'm going to head over to the next town and see what I can figure out. I spent the day today walking around town asking a couple of people if anything weird had been happening. Most said no, and the few that said yes weren't in the mood for an interview. I only got a few passing words of clown, stabbing, and dead. Once it hit 11, I decided to call it quits. I was pretty tired and in need of some food. There was a gas station that was thankfully open, so I decided to stop there. It was going to be a long night writing this all down, transcribing, and trying to piece it all together. Once inside, I made my way to the surprisingly clean coffee station to pour myself a cup. The dark liquid filling the cup put me in a trance. The lights reflecting off the black stream, along with the rich smell, made me realize how tired I actually was. I stood there for a moment, watching the stream do its little dance from the cup into the air until something caught my attention. In the reflection of the window, I saw one of the best late-night snacks, a delicious sleeve of mini powdered donuts. It had been a while since I had had something sweet, and that would hit the spot. After I finished my journey through the rest of the aisles, I head to the front to pay. Surprisingly, there was no one at the register. I thought to myself they must be in the bathroom or something, and I should just wait. About 5 or so minutes passed, and still no one showed up. Getting a little irritated, I decided to set a 20 on the counter and leave. Walking out of the store, I finally realized why no one was helping me. In a little partition between the countertops, I noticed a dark crimson liquid slowly making its way across the floor. Leaning over the counter, I saw the guy who was in his 20s laying on the floor, blood slowly pouring out of his neck. I waited for what felt like an hour for the cops to arrive. They put me in cuffs right away and began asking me a bunch of stupid questions. Sitting there silently on the curb staring up at the cop talking to me, I noticed something. Behind him, about 20 yards away, was a man in the tree line. Not just an ordinary man, but one dressed up to look like a clown. He stood there, head slacked to the side with a big, toothy grin on his face. Blood covered his outfit as I could see the glint of a knife in his right hand. Staring it down, he began to slowly raise his free hand to wave at me. It was the type of wave where the fingers meet the palm. He then just stopped and stared before bending backwards. His arms were up in the air, following his head until they finally touched the ground behind him. It was inhuman the way it looked. His head touched his calves, and he began to slowly walk backwards into the trees until I could see him no more. After about an hour, the cops let me go. They were finally able to watch the tapes and saw that the guy was killed by a clown a couple minutes before I pulled up. Once morning hit, I went back to where that thing was in the tree lines, but it was futile. Snow blew over the tracks, and there were only a few indicators. When I got back to my car, I noticed something on the windshield. A red clown nose that squeaked when I picked it up. I stayed in town for another few days, but nothing out of the ordinary popped up. No more clowns, sightings, stabbings, or weird phenomenon. Once the police cleared me, I decided to pack up and hit the road again. No need to stay in town if there's nothing to stay for anymore. Another case in the books. Sadly, I can't finish this one just yet. Case log 09, status, ongoing/unsolved. So, there you have it, just a few of the cases I've worked on. I know I have a lot more, but I don't want to sit here and bore you with everything that happened in the past. I'll share some more in the future, but for now, that's it. At least, that should have been it. While packing everything up into their respective files and boxes, I noticed something irregular with a file. It was facing the opposite way from all the others, and I picked it up. I noticed that it also was very thin. Turning around and facing the right side towards me, it read, C. Randolph, along with very faint and unrecognizable scribbles followed by C08-18. Opening the folder and looking at its contents made me realize why it was so thin. Nothing was in it except for a little cassette tape and a torn out piece of paper. This wasn't right. See, I make 3 copies of everything. Yes, I know it's very tedious and takes a while to do, but it's always just in case something happens to one of the files. I have an audio recording, a digital transcript, and then the most bare-bone version, handwritten. The handwritten portion is mainly contained in my journals, but I have copied them to other papers as well. What made this so confusing was that these 2 were the only items. Usually there's a lot of papers, a bigger map, pictures, and actual file. Grabbing the cassette tape and loading it into my player, I noticed that it was wound in the middle of the tape, which was even more off-putting because it was either at the end or the beginning. Have I listened to this before? Have I found this file and went through it just to forget it again? How many times have I done that? All these thoughts rushed through my head before finally ceasing once I pressed play. Loud noise of static pierced my eardrums and made me stand at attention. It sounded like when you accidentally bump the tune button on the radio and the signal switches, but you can still hear the faintest of the previous station. That's what it sounded like to me. Static with a low and almost unrecognizable voice behind it. I couldn't understand what it was saying or trying to tell me. Pulling the cassette player closer to my better ear, I could just almost make out some of what was being said, but it wasn't enough. Closing my eyes to try and focus on it more helped just a little bit, and then I could finally hear what it was saying. Deep below the static were the words.
I came across this tape just randomly out in the woods. Nothing appears to be on it, just static and a low gurgle.
Shouted into my ear like someone screamed it at me with a megaphone. It was my voice, though. Not the voice I was just about to hear underneath the static. I was so close, I swear I could finally understand it. It was saying... What was it saying? Fuck, I can't remember now. Setting the cassette player down and looking outside, I noticed the sun was just beginning to rise. That's not right, though. It was nighttime just a second ago. I listened to the tape and it was night. Closed my eyes trying to figure out what was being said. Then it opened them to morning? I couldn't have been listening to that all night. That's impossible. Turning back around and looking where I placed the cassette tape, I noticed a colored paper beneath it. It was an old, wrinkled, torn-off piece of map. On it was a part of Wyoming, Nebraska, and Kansas, with the majority of it being Colorado. There was a small circle and dot on an empty section of Colorado. No town names nearby or anything. Just a mile marker and a single road. Well, it looks like I know where I'm going. I need to figure out what's with this cassette and empty case file. Wish me luck. The girl we had bullied and made fun of all summer long got on stage for the camp talent show and pulled out a pocket watch. A half an hour later, we were so deeply hypnotized, we instantly obeyed when she said, "Now, why don't you all do what you've been telling me to do all summer long? Grab a big rock and walk into the lake." And before we wrap this up, let me tell you everyone who joined me to read this story and bring it to life, in order of appearance. The narrator was, of course, me, 242. The main character was played by Grim Reaper's Nightmare. Jack was played by Evil Outcast. Last but never least, the coroner was played by As the Raven Dreams. Please make sure you check out the description box / show notes for all their links and show them some love. Tell them 242 sent ya. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. If you have a story you'd like me to read, I have two ways you can submit it. You can either submit through my website, or you can submit it through an email address I have. All the links are in the description box / show notes for you guys, and you can always ask to be anonymous if that's something you want as well. And of course, I would love to thank the writer who let us read their story this evening. I really enjoyed this part. It reminds me of that clown sightings that we had quite a few years back, where clowns were just everywhere out of nowhere. I never found out exactly what happened, but this story definitely has that feeling of the clowns appearing and then poof, are gone. Don't know if you guys feel the same, but that's what came to mind as I was reading this part. So thank you so much, Cole, for letting us read this story, and I know that a part 4 is coming out, so you'll hear that one in the future as well. And of course, like I said before, thank you to all the narrators who lent me their awesome voices to bring this story to life. You all did an absolutely amazing job with each part I gave you guys. So please go show them some love. They definitely deserve it. Now, if you enjoyed this video, hit that like button and make sure it feels it. If you're new, well, and you like what you hear, please subscribe and turn that pretty little bell to all notifications. And if you're on the podcast, please, if you're able to, leave me a review. And if you're on Spotify, you have questions that you can answer if you like. If you'd like to help this podcast / channel grow, please share it with anyone who might like it. If you'd like to get early access and other bonuses, I do have Patreon and memberships for you guys. I also have PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, and Super Thanks if you just want to do a one-time thing instead of recurring like PayPal and memberships are. All the links to my socials and website are down below in the show notes / description box for you guys. But as always, thank you for watching and listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me, guys. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.